2014, the year of victory over death and the manifestation of love. This is a History with God Ministries Godcast Network featuring Frank and Christina Sasso. Visit us online at ahistorywithgod.com for articles, links, prophetic words, prayer requests, and other awesome resources. Be sure to join our mailing list to receive your free daily devotion right in your email every morning. They are sure to comfort, inspire, teach, and even challenge you in your walk with the Lord. And now, let's join the host of this Godcast, Frank Sasso. We now join part two of today's Godcast, already in progress.
This is the part of summer. Brother Grimm, are you serious? All this stuff, are you really serious? In 1970, and the reason why I say 70, because I looked it up not too long ago. I say 1974-ish, 6-ish, 8-ish. Somewhere around there, a documentary came out on TV. It was called Scare Straight.
I remember that.
I remember sitting in front of the TV.
The prisoners. Yeah, I remember that movie. It was not a movie. It was a show.
It was a documentary. That's right, prison life.
I do remember that.
Now, the whole premises of that documentary was to scare people straight so they wouldn't go to jail. That's why it was called Scare Straight. But it had the opposite effect on me.
Really?
It intrigued me. I can remember looking at the TV like this. And steady saying, oh my God, I would never want to be in that position, never want to go to jail. My mind, the enemy, says, wouldn't you like to find out if that's true or not? I'm like, yeah. I wonder if they really treat people like that. Wow.
Oh my gosh, I think one day
I'm going to go to jail just to find out if it's really like
that. Wow.
And that seed never left me. And the Bible talks about seeds being planted.
Absolutely. That's right.
That's like you can plant a good seed in a man's heart by word of mouth. That's why the Bible says faith comes by hearing.
Yes, it does.
So does destruction.
Yes, it does. Fear comes by hearing, too.
Right, yeah. And I seen that, even though it was supposed to have the opposite effect on me as a viewer, it did not. It made me interested in not becoming a prison guard, but a prisoner in more ways than one. And it was a spiritual test. Frank, I've been through some. And I'm saying it to you like I know this, but honestly, I'm hearing myself saying all this to you right now. And it's like, wow, Ivan, the enemy was really on your neck. You must got something going on that he did not want to see for real.
Yeah. That's what happened. You didn't even know.
And it messed me up for the next 15, 20-something years.
Drugs, wow.
Selling drugs, using drugs.
What?
Snatching purses and pocketbooks and
what? And to see you sitting here, I would never even think.
I spent from the first year I went to jail was 1983, and I didn't stop going to jail until my last incarceration was 1996, which I spent ten years straight in jail.
So from 13 years in and out of jail.
Right, from 1983 all the way up to 1996, I stayed in and out of prisons. Matter of fact, I almost missed my prom because I had to go to jail. But the judge was nice enough to let me go to prom and then turn myself in a week after the prom.
Well, that was nice of him.
That's how entrapped I was.
You were literally in prison.
Even though the devil couldn't take my spirit, but he was trying to take my life and my testimony.
At any point in prison, were you ministering to anybody? Did anything happen in prison?
The jailhouse religion. You heard that phrase.
Yeah.
I would go through that process.
Okay.
I would say, oh, Lord, if you save me, I'll never go back. I'll never do it again. Lord, I'm telling you the truth, God.
Which was a lie.
Yeah. It was a foxhole prayer. You know how when you get in a tight situation.
No atheist in foxholes.
You're like, God, you'll say anything to God to get out of it.
Right.
And, of course, God is merciful.
Sure.
He already knows what you're going to do before you do it. But he wants to give you the opportunity to know what you're going to do before you do it.
Right.
Yeah.
That's the thing. It's really more, and also for the enemy to know.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, exactly.
So he let me go through that process. Back and forth, in and out of jail, drug addiction, selling drugs. One day, Nino Brown, the next day, Pookie. I don't know if you know New Jack City, that movie. One day, I'm the guy on the corner asking for a dollar handout. Next day, I'm the guy handing out dollars.
That's okay.
But don't forget, Frank, it all goes back to that night when that demonic spirit came
on the brass bed. Yes.
Right? So spiritually, I was tied up. My soul belonged to God, but my spirit was in limbo because of the demonic attacks that were so strong on me that I couldn't even tell whether I was saved or not after a point. Now, God knew my destiny. God. He knew my purpose. He even knew that me and Frank was going to be in this room talking about this one day.
He knew when Moses parted the Red Sea. Yeah, he knew about this today.
So the devil's job was to convince me that no matter how many times I prayed and asked God to forgive me, that it was all in vain.
Right.
And that's the truth of the matter. That's why the Bible says here, what I read earlier, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. So there's no way I could discern all that stuff unless I was really connected with the Spirit of God, which I was not.
Right.
I got, he saved my soul,
but
I had no relationship with him outside of that. I didn't know his word. I didn't know what I could do. I didn't know what I was capable of. I didn't even know what he was capable of.
Right.
I just knew that he was a God that I could go to like a genie in a bottle and rub him when I needed something.
Oh,
go ahead.
He saved your spirit.
Go ahead.
And now he's telling you, you take care of your mind by renewing it. I got your spirit. You do your soul. Your soul is your mind where your emotions live, your will. That's your soulish area.
Yeah, the intellect.
So he saves your spirit, and then he tells you, now that you have a new spirit and it's alive in me and me and you, I want you to renew your mind.
Right. Because what a lot of people tend to overlook is even after conversion happens and you get saved, you still have a choice.
Yes.
Because remember Paul talked about that, where he says these two things I war against?
Yes.
You know,
the things spirit. I don't want to do. Right?
So why did he make that statement? Why did he say that? I mean, you're talking about Paul, this guy who's in the Bible.
Like three quarters of the New Testament.
But but at the same time, he's telling the people, the readers, the public, his constituents, his brothers in arms, the other apostles, even himself, he says, man, I got this war going on in me.
Absolutely.
He said, I want to do the right thing, but I find myself not doing the right thing.
Mm-hmm.
He said, what's that about? He said, those things I will to do, I find myself not doing. The things that I desire to do, I don't find myself doing nearly enough.
Right, right.
And that's what he says in God's word. He said, who shall deliver me from this body of death?
Uh-huh.
And that's what I struggled with for many, and at times, still can struggle with if I allow myself to be put in that position.
Absolutely. Sure.
We all can go through
it. We all have a choice. Mm-hmm. So, okay, so you went through this whole thing now in prison, 13 years in and out of prison.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's 1996.
Right.
Where were you in 96? What were you up to?
And here we go.
Here we go.
Yeah, one more time. I just received a 19-year sentence. Two and a half to five. 1996, I went to jail for having large quantities of drugs.
Okay.
They gave me all kinds of charges. So I went to court. I tried to fight the charges, lost the court fight, and the judge sentenced me to my back time, because I was on parole still selling drugs, and to do the new time was 7.5 to 14 years to be run consecutive.
Oh,
so that's a total of 19 years.
Wow.
So when I got to the county, I stayed out there about maybe 17 months. And for the first 3 months, the enemy came again and said, told you he was going to hell. You might as well commit suicide, because there is no way you're going to do 19 years in jail. Now, you did a couple months here and there. Yeah, I give you that, Ivan. But you ain't built like that. You ain't built like
19
that.
19 years would be next year, 2015.
Yeah, right. Okay. I just completed my parole.
Yeah.
The end of 2013, because, you know, you get good time, da-da-da-da. Okay. We'll do the math later, audience. But anyway, because I know they're out there adding up. Wait a minute.
They're trying to
figure
out.
Wait a minute. Oh,
don't worry about the math.
Yeah.
Listen to the message. We'll get to the math later.
Yeah, that doesn't add up, the guy just said. He said 1996. Wait a minute. Anyway.
Don't let the devil get you off track.
Yeah. Don't get discouraged. But anyway, three weeks, I contemplated suicide in jail, because I just pretty much made up my mind I wasn't going nowhere. I said, you know, I done tried, and God had been, you know, getting me off the hook now and then, but I just keep doing the same thing. So what's the use?
Yeah.
Let me go ahead and kill myself and get it over with.
Right.
So for 3 weeks, I contemplated suicide, came up with all kinds of scenarios so no one would save me, not my cellie, or the guards would stop me, because the tears would only bust so high, and if I hung myself, somebody can get up underneath me, pull me up by my feet, and stop the pressure from the thing, or somebody could run on top of the tier and cut the sheet. I didn't want that to happen.
Okay.
So I'm trying to think, okay, how can I get away with
this? Yeah.
Yeah, because I can only be outside my cell at certain times of the day, and most of the time, everybody's out there with me, so I couldn't sneak out my cell in the middle of the night and then hang myself and then somebody find me in the morning.
Right.
Yeah, that's how serious the devil was on me, man. But it wasn't making sense. I just thought these were periods of things that were happening to me. But now as I'm talking to you, I'm starting to see the pieces of the puzzle come together. And I know there's somebody out there listening to me who's saying, yo, man, this guy could be my twin, man. This guy is going through the same thing.
This guy's hardcore enemy, like me.
Yeah. The enemy is doing the same thing to you. So listen to this part here. I go to sleep one night after about 3 weeks of contemplating. I just made up my mind, okay, this is it.
In prison.
In jail, at the county. Because I didn't want to go upstate. I said, no, I'm not going upstate and doing no 19 years. Because probably somebody's going to kill me up there anyway. So I was like, get it over with down here. So I go to sleep that night, and I said, okay, God, you know, I'm not going to try to reason or bargain with you or anything. My mind is made up. I'm checking out. This week is it. I'm getting this thing over with. So I go to sleep, and God gives me this dream, because when I woke up in the morning, could be nobody but him. Anyway, long story short, I had this dream that I was in heaven, and all I could see was seas and seas and rows of people adorned in some kind of white garment. I don't know what it didn't look like a robe. I don't know what it was. This was white.
Okay.
And they were all doing this dance, and they were all in unison. Nobody was offbeat. Nobody put a right hand up, and another guy put a left hand up. Didn't hurry up and switched up or the right. No, everybody was in unison. And I can hear this music being played, and I hear these angelic voices singing. Think of the person who you admire the most as far as a singer, whether it was Michael Jackson, Luther Vandross,
Frank Sinatra,
Dolly Parton, or whoever. Right. Whoever you say has the most beautiful voice in the world, put that person or any group of people together, and they sound like a train wreck compared to the voices and the music that I heard.
Right.
It was like literally out of this world.
Amen.
And it just put me in a trance where I was like, wow, look at this. No one came up to me and said, Ivan, or look at, no one talked to me. I just seen this stuff going on for maybe it was a 3-minute dream. And I woke up out of the dream the next morning, and I got up and I lived on the edge of my cot.
Yeah.
I put my chin on my hands, and I was like, what in the world was that? Wow, why did I dream that dream? And it was something in the back of my head saying, if you don't commit suicide, you can see that.
Mm.
And I turned around and looked at the wall as though I was like, what in the?
So you actually heard an audible?
I heard something in the back of my head saying to me, the thing that you saw, you can see that if you don't commit suicide.
Mm.
So it was God that, even though when it was happening, I didn't really believe that I was hearing that.
Yeah.
But it stopped me from committing suicide.
It stopped
it. Yeah, that's why I'm here. It's not even good talking, right?
Well, you're sitting here right now?
That was God letting me know that he has a plan for me, and my destiny was not hell. But I still have a choice, even when God is talking to you.
That's
like
right.
Moses at the burning bush.
Yeah.
You can still put on your sandals after the bush goes out and walk in a different direction.
That's right.
God never made Moses do what Moses did.
Right.
He asked Moses to go back. He didn't make Moses go back.
That's
he gave Moses a choice. He said, well, man, God, how you going to tell God no? All the people that are dying and going to hell today, Frank, are telling God no.
That's
you don't have to have some big thing happen to you to realize that you told God no.
Amen. You're right.
Go ahead, brother.
It's like Jonah. It's like God told Jonah, go to Nineveh. Jonah said, Not only am I not going to go to Nineveh, I'm going to take the first boat out of here in the total opposite direction. Although with Jonah, I don't believe he was running from God. I believe he was running from what God told him to do. So what my point is that, Moses could have just said, I'll put my sandals on, I'm out of here. Forget this. I'm going to Pharaoh. What is he, nuts? You know? You, however, you had a voice, or you had a message, or you had something tell you, listen, if you commit suicide, which means you still have the choice, like you're saying, you can see this if you don't commit suicide. You can be in this place if you don't commit suicide. You will see this place eventually if you don't commit suicide. You chose to not run from what God was telling you to do. You weren't running from God. You chose, you know what? I'm not going to kill myself. Now, apparently that was enough for you to make that decision. The idea of that you will see this place if you don't commit suicide, correct?
Yeah.
Okay, so it was enough to make you not walk the way of suicide. It was enough to make you not do it. So it made you not run from God. It made you not run from what God was telling you to do or not to do in that case. So what was the result then? Obviously, you didn't kill yourself, but what was the process after that?
Well, I don't want to give the listeners the wrong impression that day I said, okay, I'm not going to commit suicide. What happened was I woke up another day and I was alive. Then I woke up a week later and I was still alive. And then a month later, I was still alive. And then one day, the prison chaplain came around asking anybody, do they want a Bible? And people were talking about God. They were doing that the whole time.
Yeah.
But I was so in a fog about committing suicide, I was oblivious to people walking around talking about God and the Bible and the chaplain.
Right.
But soon thereafter, after that experience, I started saying, oh, there's the chaplain. Like, all of a sudden he appeared, but he was there the whole time.
Right.
But I was blinded by that thought of 19 years in jail.
Right.
I was like comatose, walking around like a zombie. But I was being lifted out of that.
Yeah.
And one day me and him had a talk. And I told him what I was going through and my experiences and, you know, who I was. And he said, brother, I believe God has a calling on your life. I said, yeah, I want to believe that too, but right now I'm not really sure. He said, well, why don't you just start coming to them in the Bible studies and, you know, some of the brothers on the block, da-da-da, and, you know, fellowship. And that's what I started doing. And the next thing I know, a day from reading the Bible turned into a week turned into months, and a month turned into the rest of my life, which I'm still doing to this day. Oh. Now, that's more to that story about the jail thing, about the masturbation, how he delivered me from that, and all that other stuff.
Yeah.
But it was a process. But it wasn't like I could see it coming.
Right.
It just, I would look back and say, wow, I haven't sinned today. Wow, I haven't. I don't know if this is an appropriate word to use for the audience. Maybe you might have to edit this out, but I haven't masturbated today.
That's okay. And I know what masturbation is.
Yeah, it was an addiction for me. Yeah. And I did that like breathing. But then one day I woke up and I realized the whole week went by. Then a month went by. I was like, wow, God, did you do that? Because I know it wasn't my
thing.
Right, it wasn't like I decided, like, oh, I'm not doing that anymore.
Right, yeah.
I'm going to Masturbation Anonymous. I'm going to kick this habit. No, it wasn't that way.
Right.
It was God showing the power of deliverance.
Exactly.
Because he knew that was something I did not want to do,
right,
but didn't know how to stop. But God tells us in his word that with man, it's impossible, but not with God. With God, all things are possible.
Right.
And I didn't even know that scripture.
That's
right. But he was showing me that it was possible.
Absolutely. So it's definitely possible. He says, if you continue in the truth, then you shall know it,
right,
and the truth shall set you free. But there's a key word there. If you continue in the truth.
And what is the truth, Frank?
Jesus, right, the word of God.
Because the Bible says that I am the way, the truth, and
the light.
Thy word is truth. So, and that's what.
But you were continuing. A day became a week became a month, a month became the rest of your life.
Right.
You continued and you were set free.
And that's not to say I didn't have pitfalls along the way.
I'm not saying that.
Right.
I'm just saying you were set free.
Right.
Why?
Right.
Because you know the truth,
right,
which is Jesus Christ.
Hallelujah,
right,
man.
Right. So everything that was going on was only preparing me for this place that I'm at now. So I can start to see now. I'm telling you, as I'm talking to you, it's like kind of coming clear to me.
Pastor Green.
Don't think that I knew this stuff coming up here, because I don't want to give you that impression.
I know.
That's
you
why
didn't.
God said, don't think about what you want to say to him. Just keep a blank slate. Now I see why he said
that. We had a little barbecue before we started recording, and that's exactly what he's saying is true. He said, I didn't even know this stuff coming up here. I knew that when we were eating.
Right.
Not that I knew like what you were going to say, but I knew this when we started going, there was going to be stuff coming out that you weren't even planning to even remember.
Right.
Much less say.
Right. And I understand why God allowed me to go through all that. And I understand why he allows me to wear baseball caps. I understand why he allows me to ride a motorcycle. Because there's people out there that just like me who can't identify with a guy with a suit and a tie and talks about all kinds of, to them, mystical things that they just can't comprehend or grab
to
hold
them.
Of.
To them.
It's unrealistic.
We were just talking about this last night.
It's unrealistic.
Absolutely. They You're absolutely comprehend. Right.
And matter of fact, it says it again. That's why it says the natural man cannot receive.
Right.
The they can in their natural state. But right, when they see a person like me ride a motorcycle and have a baseball cap on, turn right backward and get off the bike and start talking about Jesus and pull out a Bible from my backpack, and they're like, what's that about? It'll make them curious.
Right.
And the next thing I know, they come over and we start talking and they can relate, because I start telling them
they
about,
can relate because they have a baseball cap turned backwards on their head.
Right. I can tell them about my pitfalls.
Right.
How the devil tried to get me to commit suicide. How I sold drugs. How I used drugs. And then it takes down that thing like, okay, well, he can't relate to me. I can relate to you because I'm just like you. Not in the sense where you are, but I can relate to where I used to be.
Right, and
where
God
you
has
are, and how God can take you
absolutely
out of that circle.
Oh,
so I see
Lord
why he's doing that. So he doesn't want me to be the suit and tie preacher.
Now, I want to make sure I understand something, though.
Go ahead.
Pastor Ivan Green. You're not saying that God caused all that to happen, correct? I just want to make sure I know what I'm hearing. He used it.
Yeah.
I mean, you made some stupid choices, let's be honest. You made them out of alignment with his will for your life.
Right.
But he's like, I'm going to use this.
Right.
I'm going to use this. It's an opportunity for character growth. It's an opportunity to show him some things. I'm definitely going to use it.
Go ahead.
I just want to make sure that you're not saying, well, God allowed this and he causes this to happen so that he can show me something and teach me something. We get taught by his word. That's what he teaches us.
Right.
So I just want to make sure that that's what you're saying or what you're not saying, really.
Right. Okay. Now, we know God does allow things to happen because he's sovereign, right?
Well, there's a thing with that. See, when I I have this conversation with Tim all the time. Like, he said, well, God allowed this, God allowed that. I'm like, wait a minute. I said, you know, I think, honestly, we allow things. We have authority. And yes, he's sovereign, but sovereign doesn't mean without checks and balances. Sovereign, he's sovereign in the sense that he's Lord of all. He's in charge. He's put us in control. Now, if I say allow, I'm thinking, okay, you go through something, like you declare something, the devil comes to test you. He comes to see if you're for real.
Right.
I don't believe God allows things to happen that are detrimental to you, because if God allows us to be sick at times, then why would Jesus rebuke sickness? Mm-hmm. Jesus would never rebuke something that was of the Father.
Right.
You know what I mean? No, Jesus would never rebuke something that was of God.
Right. No, he couldn't.
So what do you mean when you say God allows things like, you know, well, like, what do you mean? I want to make sure I understand.
Job chapter 2, verse 9 and 10 says, then said his wife unto him, meaning Job, dost thou still retain thy integrity? Curse God and die.
Right. That's the wife saying this.
Right.
Right.
Then Job responded by saying, he answered and said unto her, thou speak as one of the foolish women speaketh. Mm-hmm. What shall we receive good at the hand of God? And shall we not receive evil? In all this did not Job sin with his lips. In other words, the enemy or whoever you want to blame, because you know how we play the blame game. What was that guy named Flip Wilson?
Yeah.
The devil made me do it.
Right.
The devil can't make you do anything. As I stated earlier, he was trying to influence me to commit suicide.
Right.
But the only way that he can even come at me, if God allowed him to come at me.
Well, in
what
the same way,
when he came at Job, when he said, does Job worship you for nothing?
You got this hedge about him.
And he said, okay, this is what I'll do for you then.
Right.
Since
you
want to throw that in my face,
yeah.
I'm going to remove that.
Right.
He allowed that to happen.
Because
he could have told him, don't you?
Job.
Right.
And Job,
but you understand what I'm saying. I'm not trying to play some
games with you. I understand. I'm not playing games with me. I'm thinking about the first time listener.
Right.
Listening, saying, ooh, I wonder, is God gonna allow me to?
Oh no,
you know,
not
that's
at
what
all.
So I'm trying to get to the person listening to this for the first time. I don't want to scare them into thinking God's gonna allow them to go through something. Well, what do you mean he's gonna leave me alone? No, no, no. You learn from the Word. You know what I'm saying.
I got you.
Okay,
we're on the same
so
page.
That's where
we're
I
on the same
make...
team, listeners. We're on the same team. We're not arm wrestling. We're just getting
clarity. I just want to make sure. Let's get cloudy here.
Right.
That God trusts you, Ivan.
Right.
The devil comes along and tries to tempt you with something stupid.
Right.
It's not like God saying, okay, go get Ivan. Go. No. Let's go see what he does. No.
He doesn't talk.
God trusts you. He knows you know his word. So he's given you the tools to defeat that enemy.
Right.
So as far as God allowing, yeah, I mean, in the sense that, okay, sure, he allows it, but he's giving you authority
to take
control of that situation.
Right.
Job, I always tell people, make sure you read Job with the Holy Spirit, because Job was vexed.
Yeah.
Job, every morning, all he was thinking about was sin. He was thinking about the sin. He was thinking about the sins his sons may be committing. All he's thinking about is sin. He was sin conscious all the time. Plus, that's Old Testament.
Yeah.
That's another thing that people sometimes don't realize. So a lot of New Testament believers, they'll tell me about Job. Well, look what God did to Job.
Yeah.
God didn't do nothing to Job, and then they never tell me about how Job ended up.
Right.
They always tell me about Job's trials. They never tell me about Job's victory at the end.
Yeah.
He wound up getting everything back to mention his family.
Amen.
What are we talking about? Does God allow things? Well, yeah, he allows things in the sense of, you know what? Hey, Lord, there's Bobby Connor, preacher. He's watching a TV show and there are hurricanes going on. And Bobby Connor says, oh man, Lord, I pray for those families and oh my goodness. And the Lord says to him, how long are you going to let that go on? The hurricanes. He goes, how long are you going to allow that to happen?
Right.
God was asking Bobby Connor that.
Yeah.
And Bobby Connor
not
said, you know
way,
what?
Exactly.
Why? He put us in control of what's going on in here.
He's giving us dominion.
Exactly. Bobby Connor extends his hand toward the television, curses the hurricanes, and within hours, done. No more hurricanes.
Right.
Mm-mm.
Amen.
That's like a hot spot with me, that word allow.
Right.
And I know your heart. I'm hearing your heart on it.
Right.
So forgive me if I'm coming on
no,
too,
it's okay.
too harsh.
Yeah. You're just making your point.
I just want to make
taken.
Sure. Yeah, okay,
point
cool.
Taken.
I just want to make sure.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Right.
I love you.
Yeah. It's all good. But anyway.
Anyway.
Yeah. I'm sorry, artists. We got a little sidetracked.
We can read it together.
Through that experience, that was the time when I decided mentally and emotionally to fully commit myself to God. All that time prior to that, I didn't even know how to do that.
Yeah.
I just knew I went to church one day.
Sure.
I accepted Christ as my Lord and Savior. I was baptized. but I didn't know anything after that. I didn't know how to serve God. I didn't even know who God was as far as him being called God. I didn't know if he had any other names. I didn't know he had a son named Jesus. All that stuff.
Right, right, sure.
But as I got of age, I started hearing it. I was going to church when I was in the street. Okay. But that's all I was doing was going to the building.
Right.
When I say church, people, the Bible talks about the body of Christ being the church. We are the church.
We are the church.
But I was going to the building where the church gathered.
There you go. You were going to the assembly hall.
Right. I was going, yeah, the place with the cross on top of
that's
it.
That's right.
With the bricks and the plywood.
The stained glass.
And all that stuff. Yeah.
Or the hole in the wall.
Right,
whatever.
There. Right. Right there. But at that point, when God was revealing himself to me inside the jail, that's when I became truly free. And matter of fact, I don't want to give you guys the wrong impression, but I'm working on a book. It's called The Day I Was Incarcerated, I Became a Free Man. Mm. And I know that sounds like an oxymoron.
No, that's good. I like that.
But I'm actually working on that. And it's a slow process because I'm not real good at typing. But that's the inspiration that God gave me to write a book called The Day I Was Incarcerated.
And it's about your testimony, basically.
I became a free man.
When you get that book ready, I want you to come back on the podcast and tell us about it. We'll put it on the website as well.
That's so awesome. That's when I started finding out who God was in prison. That's when I discovered who Jesus was. That's when I discovered who Enoch was. That's when I discovered who Methuselah was. That's when I discovered who Paul was. That's when I discovered who Rahab was. That's when I discovered who I was.
There you go. I think I'm going to name everybody in the Bible for a minute.
That's when I discovered who I was.
Amen, brother.
Because God challenged me with that one day. He came to me and said, Ivan, who are you? And I started naming my name. I'm Ivan Green. No, I didn't ask you what your name was. I said, who are you? I'm the son of Catherine. No, I didn't ask you who your mother was. Who are you? I'm the son of Irvin White, who's deceased. No, I didn't ask you who your father was. Who are you? Well, now I'm getting frustrated. I'm a drug dealer. No, I didn't ask you what you did. Who are you?
Ooh.
I said, well, yeah, God's smart like that. I said, now I'm really getting frustrated. I said, I'm a thief. I'm a liar. I'm a murderer. He said, no, I didn't ask you about your alter egos. I said, who are you? And he began to keep going and going. I kept coming up with these answers. And he kept saying, I said, I didn't ask you that. I asked you, who are you?
Yeah. Yeah.
And I got quiet for a second and I thought about it. And I said, God, I don't know who I am. And it was a pause about 30 seconds. And he said, exactly. And that's all he said, exactly. And it made me just look in the Bible and start discovering who I was, because I had no clue. I knew my name. I knew my birth date. I knew who my mother was. I knew my grandmother. I knew my cousins and all of them. I knew what city I grew up in. But I had no idea who I was. I wore too many hats. One day a drug dealer. One day a Christian. One day a drug user. Right. I was confused. And God had to ask me, literally ask me in my head, about who I was.
If he was asking you right now, who are you?
I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus.
I'm the righteousness of God.
I'm a son of God.
You didn't even let me
I'm
finish
I'm an heir.
This.
I'm a joint heir.
Ooh.
I'm a royal priesthood. I'm a peculiar people.
Come on,
I'm a
brother.
Nation.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah. But I'm a son of God. That's who I am.
You're a son of
That's,
God.
Ivan is my name. But you ask me who I am, I'm a son of God. And I didn't know that before. And that's what the devil was doing all the time.
You hadn't entered. You hadn't entered into sonship. You were the prodigal son.
Yeah.
You were in servant mode, but you didn't step into sonship.
Right. And unfortunately, Frank, there's a lot of people just like that right now.
I know.
Listening to this podcast.
Yeah.
Saying, yo, brother, I can relate to you.
Mm-hmm.
I like the way you talk, man, because you don't talk with thee thou to the hither, the skies, the moon, the windows of heaven. I'm not going to quote a lot of scripture.
Yeah.
Because people in that situation, in their present condition, don't understand all that. That's what it talks about the natural man.
Yeah.
So you have to reach people at their level. That's
Absolutely.
Like Jesus did.
That's what he
said, I didn't come to call the righteous,
right.
but I come to call sinners.
Right.
And so he had to relate to them on the level that they
he
were.
He met them where they were, right, in the cities, at the well.
Right, that's why he called them a wine bibber. Because
right.
he probably was hanging at the tavern.
That's right.
He's like, what are you doing on the corner standing in front of a bar, Jesus? He said, I'm waiting for the drunk to come out so I can sober him up.
That's
no,
right.
not physically sober him up,
right.
but spiritually.
Right.
That's why the Bible says, be not drunk with wine, right. but be filled
with the Spirit. Absolutely.
I get you, Jesus. I understand what you meant.
Because that'll take care of the being drunk with wine.
That's why Paul said, I become all things to all people, to all men. I
did
get it, man.
Awake to righteousness.
I get
did
it.
Not.
I get it. Mm-hmm. But it took me years, man. Years.
Well, that's why I said,
years.
What was the process from when you were in prison to now?
That 10 years that I spent in jail from 1996 to 2006
yeah.
was my sabbatical.
Mm.
That was me being on the Mount of Olives with God. That was me like Moses going up into the mountain and being with him. He stayed 40 days,
wow.
but I stayed 10 years with God up in the mountains. But it was called the penitentiary. But God knew that was the only way that he would have my undivided attention and not allow me to go back to the mire.
I hear what you're saying.
I know if I got out too early, if the judge had been too lenient, I'd have been too tempted to go back to my old ways and do the same thing over, expecting different
results. So he used that sentence.
That period of time.
He said, I'm going to use this to get his attention.
Just like Joseph, when he said, you meant it for evil, my brothers, but God meant it for good. Even though it was my own device used against me.
Right.
No, I can't go blame my brothers for putting me in jail. I can't blame my brothers for giving me drugs and using drugs and selling drugs. I can only blame myself. But who I can blame is the enemy who introduced me to those things and tried to make it seem like it was something grandiose.
Hey, I know what you mean. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's something it's called temptation. That you love God and you're called to his purpose, so he was able to use that for the good.
Right.
That's awesome.
That's all it was.
What's on the horizon now for Pastor Ivan Green? What's going on?
Well, since I got out of the muck and the mire, God has delivered me physically, mentally, spiritually, emotionally, psychologically, and one day financially.
All that, dude.
They're working on that, Lord.
No, wait a minute. He already did that. He already delivered me financially.
See, I need you to convince me. I
can't convince you. I can build your belief and I can impact you. That's all I can do. I'm telling you right now. Your financial situation has already been dealt with. It's done. It's handled. You, out of the words you spoke out of 1 Corinthians, when you renew your mind to that ground, to that area, I'll tell you what. Lord said to me, he says, a man who struggles with his finances is a man who struggles with his righteousness in that area.
That makes sense to me. Yeah, that makes sense.
It all comes down to your identity.
Right.
It all comes down to who are you? Who are you?
You know what I'm reminded of when you said that? And I agree with everything you said, but I like to be honest.
Yeah.
That's why earlier when I told you guys, said just tell the truth, speak
that's
about
why,
truth.
That's why I love
it. I don't like to pretend like, oh yeah, I knew that.
Yeah.
I don't like doing that. If I'm struggling with something, amen. You want to know I'm struggling with it because the Bible says that if we confess our faults, not saying that you are walking around sinning, but whatever my fault is, I'm going to let you know I'm struggling with this. That's why the guy, when Jesus was helping him out, he said, Jesus, you know what? I thank you for the help you gave me. I'm paraphrasing audience, but help me in the part that I'm struggling with. Help me in my unbelief. Remember he said,
I believe.
I believe, help me with that.
I just didn't understand what that meant, man.
I'm real fast to say, help me with that.
Hallelujah. I'll tell you what. When you come to the realization that you already have not only your needs met, you know, he blessed Abraham so that Abraham could be a blessing.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Totally.
I hear so many Christians that say, well, I just want my bills paid and I just want to. I'm like, you selfish thing.
Is that all?
You selfish thing. Really? Let me tell you something. My wife wants to be able to tithe 90 and live well on 10.
Amen, sister. We agreement. I got the paperwork to back it up.
Amen.
When you walk
to live well.
I got it written down, Frank.
To live well.
I wish I would have bought that in my Bible. I got it written on paper.
I believe it.
The same thing you just said.
Why are you lying?
I wrote it down.
So check this out.
My pistol.
She started doing the math.
Amen.
She said, Frank, you know, what's 10% of $1 billion? I said, I don't know. She said, it's 100 million.
Woo! Hallelujah!
Could we live well on 100 million?
Yeah.
That means we're giving away $900 million.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Can you do something with $100 million?
Hallelujah.
That's after you tithe.
Hallelujah.
Imagine a pastor getting that tithe check.
Hallelujah.
Oh, my gosh.
Hallelujah.
So I said, well, she's a much bigger dreamer than I am. She's always been.
We're on the same page.
You start speaking that word over your life. Matter of fact, I'm going to do it right now. Father in heaven, I thank you, Lord, for the authority you've given me. I thank you, Lord, for the power of our words. Hallelujah. That the same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead lives in us. The same spirit that you used to create the planets.
Thank you, Jesus.
Live in us. I want to repent on behalf of all the listeners.
Yes, Lord.
On either, the whole thing, myself even. Sometimes that we lose track of who we are.
Yes, Lord.
Where we worry about the phone bill.
Forgive us, Lord.
Where we don't realize that we are not wealth magnets. We're wealth generators.
Forgive us, Lord.
We generate it, Lord, in Jesus' name.
Yes, Lord.
And I impart right now in Jesus' name to my brother Ivan and to the listeners the opportunity and the ability to create wealth.
Yes,
financial wealth.
Yes,
that's right. I'm saying like money.
Yes,
that's right. I'm
yes,
saying
Lord.
It.
Yes,
money.
Lord. Yes, Lord.
In their life to not only meet
you know, pay bills and stuff, but to help pay their neighbors' bills.
Yes,
and then I mean the neighbors they don't even like. And I'm talking about paying off somebody's house. And I'm talking about paying off somebody's car. I'm talking about finding out what somebody owes on their Visa bill, calling up Visa and taking care of the thing once and for all, and having it be a blessing in their life where it causes them to come to you in Jesus' name. If any listener out there has a financial need right now, I could sense this rustling in the spirit right now. There's somebody out there suffering right now, really struggling with finances. And I know, Ivan, you're being very, very humble, and you're being very open and honest and forthright about it. And I appreciate it, and I know the listeners appreciate it. I want you to look in the Bible, go on the internet, whatever you got to do, and you look up every scripture on finances. I think it's one out of every six scriptures, I think, talks about finances. I mean, you think like the Lord was like, you know, had to say something about finances if he put it in his word so much. Pull out every scripture you can find on finances. And I have my feeling my wife is going to do a podcast about this very soon. Print them out on index cards and you speak them over your life every single day. And you watch what happens. Yeah. And I'm going to say it in 21 days from the moment you start. Every day for 21 days, every day over your life. 21 days, speak financial scriptures over your life, 21 days, you are going to see what was already provided for in the spirit manifest in the natural realm. You're going to see it with your eyeballs in Jesus' name. Amen. Speak that word of financial provision, abundance, prosperity, whatever you want to call it. I don't care. The love of anything but God, you know.
He's a jealous God.
The love of your wife before God is the root to all evil.
Yeah, that's right. He's a jealous God.
Ooh, man, oh, man.
He said, my glory I will not share with another. He's jealous for his people.
He is.
He doesn't mean, audience, he doesn't mean jealous like he's jealous because you got something that he doesn't have.
Exactly.
No, not that kind of jealousy, like an earthly jealousy where you see someone in a new car and you want that car, so you'll do anything to get it
because
you're jealous of the person who has it.
Right.
No. He's talking about he's jealous for you. Yes. He wants the best for you.
Yes.
That kind of jealousy.
And when you come against yourself, he doesn't like that.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
Oh, he's the most jealous thing there ever was.
That's right.
I know my wife loves God more than she loves me.
Right.
You know, and I know me. I love God more than I love my wife.
Amen. And that's the way it's supposed to be in any relationship.
Absolutely.
Because when it's all said and done, when the smoke clears and the dust settles, when we get to heaven, we're not going to be husband and wife anymore.
That's right.
I don't know if you know that, listening audience.
I think that's going to come today for us, brother.
Yeah.
And now you're going to be starting a church in Chester, Pennsylvania?
Yeah, I'm currently working on that. I got some real estaters I'm talking to.
Okay.
God has told me how to obtain the resources to get the church. Right now, we don't have anything. I've just started my congregation. The name of my ministry is Torn Curtain. God gave me that word.
Ooh, I like that.
Yeah, it's kind of unorthodox. If you most churches you hear is called Shiloh or Mount This, but it's just called Torn Curtain
Ministry.
And it talks about the veil being torn asunder.
Absolutely, yes.
And it's symbolic of not only that the law was disposed of and grace entered in, but a lot of people are afraid to go beyond the veil.
Right.
So they're still coming to the veil, but they're afraid to go through it. And Torn Curtain represents that God is allowing you to come through. And God gave me that title.
Yeah.
God said, I want you to name this ministry Torn Curtain. This is something I didn't think of, because if it was up to me, I probably would call it Shiloh or Mount Everest or da-da-da. Something typical.
right.
But God said, no, I want you to call this ministry Torn Curtain.
That's so cool.
So I'm seeking the Lord on this, but it's going to be in Chester.
It was going to be in Chester, the very place you tried to get out of, and you're being brought right back in.
They just keep pulling me in. Yeah. That's how God works.
Great. You know what? I say it about the area we live in all the time. Chester, Pennsylvania.
Right.
The city of righteousness. Right. Chester, Pennsylvania.
Right. Yeah, there it is. God's going to turn that upside down city.
Amen, man. Amen. If you need any help, let us know here at History with God Ministries.
Thank you, bro.
We'd be honored to come in, help out wherever we can, stacking chairs, whatever you need us to do.
Yeah.
Well, listeners, that's it. I hope you were encouraged. Until next week, remember this. We love you. God loves you. And Jesus is Lord. Stay blessed.
Questions. You have them. Let's open up the mailbag in today's Godcast Q&A.
And here we are. Welcome to the Godcast Q&A for May.
Didn't we just do this last week?
We did. I felt like we did it like 10 minutes ago.
I can't. unbelievable. We live up the block. We live up the block from a baseball stadium.
Listen.
And they do fireworks.
Fireworks.
And as soon as we start recording the Q&A, the fireworks go off. And the dogs have to put in their 2 cents.
Aw, they got woken up. They were so tired.
Oh, boy. All right. Let's all calm down.
All right. Good baby.
And start the Q&A.
Go to sleep. Yay.
Very exciting. All right.
All done. No, it's not the 4th of July.
It's not the 4th of July, although that'll be here soon. Yes. And we'll be doing the Godcast Q&A for that month.
Yes.
Going by very quickly. Accelerating.
Yes. So let's get to these questions.
We're going to jump right in. The first one is called No Moon. I couldn't see the blood moon. I had my alarm ringing at 3 o'clock in the morning, and I got up and waited for the blood moon and couldn't see it. I waited an hour for it. Are you supposed to see it if you look through a piece of cardboard or something? What are they talking about?
That would be a solar eclipse. You're supposed to look at a solar eclipse through a piece of cardboard because you can go blind looking at a solar eclipse.
Really?
Yeah.
If you don't... Why through cardboard, though?
It blocks out, I think, some of the rays or something.
Cardboard?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, you look. You put a pinhole in it and you look through the pinhole.
Okay.
But we didn't see it either because it was such an overcast night.
Yeah.
We got up and we looked around. We didn't see it at all. But Tim saw
it. But Tim saw it. Yes, yeah. Tim actually did see it.
Tim saw it a little bit and then it went in because it was cloudy.
Right. Well, you will have 3 other chances to see the blood moon.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yep.
October.
Then April again.
April and again. Then October again. I thought it was September. Well, it's on the website. Go check it out. Go check it out on the website. Next one, goosebumps.
Ooh.
I agree with Frank about the Holy Spirit. I used to think that when I felt goosebumps, then I woke up the Holy Spirit. As Christians, we really don't understand the ministry of the Holy Spirit. People should listen to that podcast episode. It was only 10 minutes, but it was real good. That was the one from last week.
Oh, okay.
Very quick, 10 minutes. Mm-hmm. Two things that bugged me. And one of the things was that people don't really understand the ministry of Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. I like the title of this next one. Matzah.
Matzah.
I never knew why the matzah was flat and pierced and everything. That the matzah represents Jesus. When I heard Christina saying that, I was shocked. Very insightful. And I watched all the videos about the moon and was blown away. It's so interesting. Will they keep the videos up on the website until the last blood moon? Yes, we will.
Cool.
Okay.
It is very interesting.
You really like take the time and just like sit and watch it. Yeah. It is very cool.
Yeah. You don't have to watch all 4 of them in one sitting.
No, not in one sitting. But if you want to, you can do that. You know. But we'll leave them up until the last blood moon.
Cool.
Or until Jesus comes. Whatever.
Whichever comes first.
Here's one. Green. Pastor Ivan Green is intense.
Mm-hmm.
Will he appear on the video podcast? Oh, that would be cool.
Maybe.
That would be cool. I'd like to... I can't wait to hear part 2. Well, hopefully you just heard part 2. We are now in the Godcast Q&A, which immediately follows part 2.
Part 2. Yes. I'm glad you like it.
Yes. Okay, the next one is entitled Yelling. I heard Frank yelling, get in a small group, to a bunch of people, and then giving reasons why people won't get in a small group. He was yelling so loud. Let me just say that I love Frank. Oh, well, I love you too. So I don't want to offend him. You can't. So I have questions. What are they? Here we go. Number 1. Who was he yelling at? Okay. Well, should I answer them? Because there's like a list of 7 questions here.
Let's read the questions, then answer them.
Okay. You know what? I'm going to read the questions. You answer them. How's that?
All right.
Because you're being very quiet right now for some reason.
Uh-huh.
Maybe because it's just late. Number 1. Who was he yelling at? Number 2, what's a small group? Number 3, why did he want them to get into one so bad? Number 4, he mentioned in it that if people didn't like him, that they shouldn't get into his small group. Why did Frank have a small group? Number 5, did he have a small group and Christina have a small group? Number 6, did whoever he was yelling at ever have him back to speak? And number 7, did anyone get into a small group because of him telling them to?
Okay.
All right, let's back this all up. Who was I yelling at to get into a small group?
That was recorded at the church that we got kicked out of. I don't remember the date, but at that time, the church had small groups, and they met in people's homes. And
like during the week.
Yeah, during the week. Yeah. Either Tuesday, Wednesday, whatever. And we had one in our house. The pastor was really promoting the small groups at this time. We were actually copying the system that they used at Bethany Church with Larry Stockstill for evangelism and bringing people to a small group, like inviting people to someone's home and da 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 da. So right. Some people were kind of like not into the small group.
Most people were not doing
okay,
it.
Okay,
yeah.
I don't know what the numbers were, but anyway, I'm just saying that it wasn't like something that people were like, yes, and they all were running to small groups. And since this was something that was very much at the time on the heart of the pastor,
right.
Frank got very passionate about it, and we were behind it, and we thought it was a great idea. And basically, actually, that wasn't that also the Lord was telling you that stuff?
Well, the Lord, I kept wanting to sit down, and the Lord said, you're not done.
Right. So,
I stayed
what
up there.
What he was saying was from the Lord. Yeah, of course, people got offended, which they always do, and blah, blah, blah.
Because I yelled at them.
Whatever. Anyway, people can't take it. Anyway, so go ahead. What was the second question?
Number 2, what's a small group?
Well, like I said, a small... Did I answer that?
Kind of.
Yeah, a small... In this particular case, a small group was supposed to be an hour and a half meeting where you had some praise and worship, you had some fellowship, you had a discussion of the word...
Yeah, it was more intimate ministry than in a large group.
And the idea was the people in the small group were supposed to be local to that group,
right?
In the neighborhood of that group, so that they could invite people from the neighborhood to that group, and then people had a place to plug into, even if they didn't go to the bigger
church.
Right,
exactly.
Right.
Exactly.
That was the idea.
Number 3, why did Frank want them to get into a small group so bad? Again,
that was the
vision of the
church. Of the church at that time.
Right. Number 4, he mentioned in it that if people didn't like him, that they shouldn't get into his small group.
Right, because we had one, but there were also ones in other communities, in other areas.
Why did Frank have a small group? People kind of sound like the same kinds of questions.
Well, it's a train of thought.
Well, we had,
we were deacons, and then we kind of transitioned from deacons into cell group leaders.
Yeah, or small group or home group leaders or whatever you want to call it.
So that's why we had a cell group.
Right. Number 5, did he have a small group and Christina have a small group?
No, we both had it together.
But we had ours together. So no, we didn't have our own each one. Okay, number 6, did whoever he was yelling at ever have him back to speak? Well, it wasn't like it was someone invited us to go and speak.
At that time, again, things have changed radically in that place, whatever it is. At that time, they had, I call it an open mic.
An open mic. It's not a comedy,
a comedy club. And what that would mean was like people could get up and give a prophetic word or give a scripture or a song or a testimony.
Well, really, it was strictly just for prophecy.
I know, but people didn't often use it that way.
They didn't care. They just...
Right. It just was
an opportunity
kind of like,
to talk.
Yeah. So Frank was directed by the Lord to say this to the congregation. And, you know, when the Lord tells you to tell somebody something, a lot of times that person or people will be offended. So I'm sure people got offended. Anyway.
And lastly, on this particular group of questions, did anyone get into a small group because of him telling them to? Well, I don't even know.
I have no idea. We can't answer that one.
Yeah.
But the whole thing was kind of like abolished after a while. They didn't even, I don't know.
They stopped it.
Even though ours was rocking.
Ours was rocking. That was a lot of fun.
It was a lot of fun. But anyway.
Next one. Fingers.
What is that?
Pastor Ivan described a demonic experience he had in his bedroom as a kid. He describes fingers curling up around the top of the back of his bed with long fingers. My cousin had a similar experience of a demonic spirit doing the same thing to her, really. Demons are real, but the power of Jesus' blood is even more real and more powerful. Amen to that.
And here's the thing. Who cares what demons do? Because they're already defeated.
I know,
and the
really.
Devil's defeated. So I'm glad you said that about Jesus, because there's nothing to fear from demonic activity.
I know. Demons are a bunch of losers.
And it's all smoke and mirrors, because the devil is a liar. Everything he does is a lie. All his demons are liars. So I might have said this in the past about Smith Wigglesworth, that story that he told, and he's in bed somewhere, and he feels like someone in the room with him, and he turns around from his sleep, and he looks up, and he sees this horrible-looking demon at the foot of his bed, and his reaction was, oh, it's only you, and he goes back to sleep.
Amen.
Because it's just like, I'm not scared of demons.
Yeah, like,
they're
really?
Scared of me.
Really?
They're
demons?
Scared of me.
Amen. They are
and they should
you.
Be scared of you, too. So, there you go.
Is Christina or any of the women going to be on the video podcast soon?
Actually, Mary and I will be doing the next video podcast. We just made a date.
Well, it's already May 4th.
I know, but we're meeting next week. It's okay. Just because her schedule and my schedule and...
Right.
So
schedules. So right. The answer is yes.
Yes. Pray for Mary to get a 9-to-5 job.
Yeah, please.
That's what she wants, and we are agreeing with her on that one.
Amen. I have a picture of the blood moon I saw. How do I send it to the ministry to post on their website?
Yes.
Very easy. Go to your email and send it to us at info@ahistorywithgod.org. Just hit attach, click on the picture you want to send, and hit submit or send or whatever. Like you send a regular email. Just send it to us.
I don't even know how to send a picture.
What are you talking about?
I know how to send a picture from my phone, but I don't know how to send a picture from, I don't know.
You just click the paper clip.
Or paper clip.
There's a paper clip icon, or you click the word attach, and then it asks you.
I have a paper clip.
Oh my goodness. All right. Send us an email at info@ahistorywithgod.org. Click attach. Put your attachment on there with the picture, and that's that.
Oh, I think if you have an iPad, you can go to your gallery, and there's a little email icon, like a little envelope, and you can send it that way.
This is depending on how they even took a picture. Maybe it's on film. Who knows?
Ooh.
If it's on film, you scan it in. Once it's scanned in, you go to your email, you click attach or the paperclip icon, and you send it to info@ahistorywithgod.org.
Yes, I want to see it.
INFO. Or get someone to help you.
Yes, please send it. I'd like to see it.
There is an MP3 on... Oh, this is another one of those. You know, there are prophetic words. I often overlook them.
Right.
Because we update the Godcast so much.
Right.
That there's these prophetic words down the left-hand side of that page that I don't forget about. I don't listen to them every day. I mean, you know. There's an MP3 on the website called Why Take Medicine. She's laughing. I think I heard on the Godcast that the day they did that, Frank said that word, him and Christina got kicked out of the church they were in. Is that true? Why would that get them kicked out of church? I listened to it, and it made a lot of sense to me what he said. Did he give that word in the church that they were kicked out of? Or did the church leaders just happen to hear that and then kick them out? I still don't understand why they would get kicked out based on what he said. He didn't say anything wrong. The word was basically this. Some people think that God makes them sick to teach them something. Like it's God's will that you be sick so that you can learn something.
Right, and you're going to stay sick until you get this lesson.
Right.
Right.
So the word that I gave was, well, if it's God's will for you to be sick and you want to be in God's will, then why take medicine?
And why go to the doctor?
Why go to the doctor? You might as well stay sick, learn something, let the sickness run its course, learn something, and then you'll be in God's will.
Right.
Okay. Which,
and that sounds ridiculous.
Ridiculous.
Doesn't it?
That's basically...
It sounds ridiculous to me, too. Well, apparently, somebody got offended.
Oh, boy.
Christians get so offended! Stop being offended at everything! Anyway, one person got offended, or two, was
and
it?
And said, he must be stopped.
He must be stopped from
those
telling
words,
the truth.
Verbatim.
Well,
he must
didn't say
be
from
stopped.
Telling the truth. I added that. And
he must be stopped.
They went to one of the pastors and said, he must be stopped. From what? From what? Like opening people's eyes and telling them the truth that God doesn't make you sick to teach you something?
Well, when you have a spirit of offense, you're not seeing it like that.
All right. Anyway, then the phone call came.
That was the last word I ever gave at that church.
Yes, it was.
And that was actually the last time I was even at that church was
That's right.
That day.
That's right. Right. Well, anyway, then the phone call came with the reprimand, blah, 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 blah. You know, how could you say that? I mean, how could I say that? Anyway, long story short, because of that and other excuses, they had evidence to, like, say, oh, we can't have you here anymore.
Right, because I was supposedly very angry.
And what was the exact words so that nobody can say we said it wrong? What was it that you were told? Don't come back.
Yeah, we were not asked to leave. We were told, don't come back.
Right.
That's what we were told. So, and I actually still have it on a voicemail.
So what I think that means is we got kicked out.
Yes. That doesn't mean...
Yeah, it doesn't mean like we were given a choice or anything else.
Don't
it,
come back.
It was don't come back.
Right.
So, you know, you want to mince words. I'm not saying you, listener. I'm just saying... Anyway,
that's the answer. So, yeah.
So that was the last word given at that mic.
Right. By me.
By you.
Right. Next review.
Next review.
I just discovered the Stitcher Radio app. I listen to the Godcast in my car now. Love it. Yeah, Stitcher is very cool.
Why is Stitcher different than iTunes?
Stitcher you can actually get in your radio, in your car.
Like a regular radio?
Like a regular radio if you know, it's an app. So like there are some cars now that come where you can have an app in the dashboard. Not the dashboard, but in the radio section. You know how you have Bluetooth in the radio area? You can have now apps running too.
No,
so yeah. Stitcher is a radio, is an app designed for a car radio. You can also listen to it on the computer with it as well, but it's designed for the car, which is just very cool. People that know how to use it in the car, God bless you. I have no idea how to use it in the car, but I think it's cool that you like it in the car and you can listen and you can access all of them.
From the car.
Yeah, through Stitcher, yeah. It's very cool.
You need a car.
Well, first you need a car. If you want to listen to our podcast, you need a car.
If you want to listen to our podcast in a car.
On Stitcher, you don't need a car. I'm just saying it works in a car as well as on your computer like a normal thing.
Stitcher works on your computer.
Stitcher works on your computer, on your iPhone,
you want to listen
on
to
your
it
whatever.
In your car.
Right.
You need a car.
Well, yeah. Just like if you want to listen to it on a bus, you need a bus. All right, now here's the last one. Now just buckle up for this.
Why?
You'll find out in a minute. It's entitled Ages. A-G-E-S. Tim, I hope you're listening, buddy. And all you directors out there, listen up. I think Tim looks very young. But a guess for me, considering his spiritual maturity level, would put him in his late 30s. And I think Frank looks younger than he is. I would say he's 56. I look younger than I actually am. I would say he is 56. I hope I meet this person one day. I hope I meet this person. Okay. I think Christina married older. Another compliment to good old
Yay!
Frank. So she would have to be 35. I'm 21 years older than you.
According to them.
According to them.
Yes.
Don't worry, Keith and Teresa. You're not left out. I see Teresa and Keith. And I put Keith at 63 and Teresa at 41. He's 22 years older. No, that 20
I
didn't yeah, 22.
Have any problem with this email.
Of course not. I think James is 25 and I think Mary is 23 and I think I am right. Am I? No. You're way off with my age. Way off.
Way off.
Wow.
All right. First of all, Who are we talking about? Tim?
Wait. I just have a problem with it. I think Frank looks younger than he is. He must be 56.
So they must think it really... You look like you're 56.
No. I look younger.
Oh, you look younger than 56.
I don't know what they're saying.
Oh, I thought it meant he thinks you look, or he or she thinks you look younger. He thinks...
I don't like this review. I don't like this either. I don't like it. I don't care. You know what? I don't care what they mean.
Okay,
Tim.
All right,
he looks very young.
How old is Tim?
Well, considering his spiritual maturity level.
Well, how old is he really?
I think he's in his 40s.
I think he's in
his 40s. This is saying his late 30s.
He looks very boyish.
Boyish?
Yeah, he has a boyish way about him.
All right.
So that makes him appear younger.
They think you married older. Meaning you married someone older.
I know what that means.
So you would have to be, 35.
Thank you. I am 54.
They're not going to believe. Someone's right now saying no way.
I was born March 11th, 1960.
And I am not 56.
And Frank.
I just turned.
Just turned 46. 46.
So if anybody married older, it's me.
April 21st, 1968.
Right.
Ah, well.
Teresa and Keith. Keith, they think, is 63. Oh, God.
He's not even 60 yet.
He's not even 60 yet. And Teresa is 41, actually, isn't she?
No, she's 45, I believe.
All right.
She's 45.
I think James is 25. Well, we just recently went to James's birthday party.
Right, and I think he's 26 or 28.
Mary is not 23.
No, she's 19.
She's 19 years old. And I love how they end it. And I think I'm right. Well, you're not. But you know what's cool about being a believer?
What?
Is that you never fail. You just have more opportunities to get it right.
Well, I thought that was very perceptive.
Oh, of course. Of course you would. So I have some other news.
Oh.
For some reason, we had some emails, and now they're gone.
Mm-hmm.
They're not showing up.
Well, where are these emails? Where were they?
They were in the inbox.
On the website?
info@historywithgod.org.
Oh, okay.
And now they're not there.
They disappeared.
But apparently this happens a lot.
Well, that happened to me on my iPad. Remember, I got that email, and I went back to find it, and I was like, it's gone, and... You said, oh, you probably deleted it. And I'm like, I didn't delete it. And I looked in my trash, which right. I never get rid of. And it wasn't in my trash. So where it just went, poof, gone. I don't know.
Well, if you sent in an email that we didn't read, if you didn't hear your... Because we read every one of them. And we read them. There's not like some staff reading them. And because I like how some of these are worded. Hey, are they going to ever do this? Or... Are they ever going to do that? You know, we're reading them.
I kind of like that.
You like that?
I like that. All right. I'm going to say third person. Well, we just might not read every single email. I mean, some of them might not be.
No, I said we read every single one of them.
Oh, we read.
We may not record them for the Q&A.
Oh, okay.
But we do read every one that we get.
Yes, yes.
So if you had a question that wasn't answered, then resend your email to us.
Yes.
All right.
Unless they reappear.
Right. Now, here's the other thing I wanted to mention. If you look on iTunes, on the reviews, if you're looking for your reviews, they are there. You just can't see them. This is going back to like December. I've spoken to some experts, and they have told me that they are aware of this, and they are addressing this issue.
So what does that mean? That means that even though people have sent in reviews,
right.
They're not appearing so people can read them.
Right. But then how are we able to see them on our end? Mm-hmm. Again, I have spoken to some experts in that field, and they were able to help us out.
Okay.
But the issue is being addressed, and iTunes will have, you'll see them. They're going to be like, you know, back to, well, January, February, March, April, and now May. Mm-hmm. Well, 4 or 5 months, you'll see them appear. They will be there. They are there. They're spooling, but they are there.
So, I really wanted to read the ones from our site too. So if they disappeared, that's disappointing.
That's disappointing, but I could also call the hosting company and see if they maybe have them. They can maybe unleash them or resend them, however that works. So we will get them, whether you resend them or we get them from our hosting company somehow. Just, you know, Let's not let the enemy get a hold here. Mm-hmm. Okay, well, that's going to bring an end to the Godcast Q&A for May 2014.
I'm sleepy.
Well,
I'm going to sleep now.
Well, you can't go to sleep yet.
Why?
Because you have to make sure they remember something.
Remember what?
Remember that we love you, God loves you,
and Jesus is Lord. Yeah!
Stay blessed.
Thank you for listening to today's broadcast from A History with God Ministries. This teaching is a powerful ministry tool that you can use to experience the power of God in your life. Thank you again for listening and for helping us reach the world with the love of Jesus. Sign up for your free daily devotion today at ahistorywithgod.com and click on contact. Type in your name and email address and you'll be all set. A History with God Ministries. Seeing, hearing, remembering. Until next time, remember, we love you, God loves you, and Jesus is Lord. Stay blessed.